Welcome to the Barth Calderone Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Thanks everybody for being here. We're going to get started here, top of the hour, and really excited to have Renee here. If you don't know us, if you haven't been on our webinars, we're Barth Calderone, estate planning, asset protection, business planning firm with about 6,000 clients across the country. And we have some great attorneys. Renee is one of them. And we do a lot of this education. Our whole purpose is to deliver high-value content that can help you in some way with your own scenarios. If you have questions as we're going through this, please put your questions in the chat. Happy to address those. And also, we are recording this. We're going to get a recording out afterwards. And the last thing is I put up in the chat there the link to our YouTube channel. I always encourage people to subscribe to our channel because we put fresh new content there every week from all of our attorneys on topics you care about. And so if you subscribe to that, click the bell to get alerted when new stuff goes up there. We have stuff going out all the time. All right. Renee, we're talking about a very important topic here, digital assets. And so I'm going to let you jump right in. What are we talking about? What's going on?
Yeah. So wanted to talk today about how to guard your digital assets. And digital assets is something that that we all have, that we have more and more of all the time, and that, you know, every sort of asset that we can think about owning has kind of a digital component to it these days. So it's really important to think about how we're going to safeguard all of that stuff that we have in the event that, you know, we become incapacitated or pass away. And really important to think about how we're going to leave all of that stuff behind, you know, to somebody else in a way that they can sort of jump in and know what to do with it and take control over it when we're not able to do that anymore. So
yeah, it's a big deal because I have some questions for you. And I'm the digital assets. I mean, honestly, I'm thinking about Sam Bankman-Fried, who's, you know, all his digital assets are frozen right now. The crypto guy, but so what are digital assets? Like what is kind of the laundry list of digital assets?
Yeah, so digital assets, when we think about them, is really a really broad category of things. So it can be everything from like your social media accounts to those photos and videos that you've got stored online. It can be cryptocurrency. It can be all of your merchant accounts that you may have, such as, you know, you might have Amazon accounts or Etsy accounts.
All right.
It can be, yeah, any of those, if you do any like online gaming or any of that fun stuff, it can be the accounts that you have through that. So really just any financial accounts that you have access to online. When we're thinking about guarding our digital assets, it really does require us to think about everything that we have. And, you know, is there a digital aspect to that? So some of the things we have may only have digital assets. And then other things, you know, we have to think about, okay, well, sure, this is a physical asset that I have somewhere, but it's also got a digital component to it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you mentioned the Amazon accounts. You know, at the firm, we work with quite a few Amazon sellers, and they have incredibly successful businesses. We have some of the biggest Amazon sellers on the planet as clients and some that are smaller. But they're, you know, it's their main job. They're making a living out of it. And one of the big issues with them, they don't have an estate plan. And mm-hmm. a lot of times they're the only employee. That's them. And if something happens to them, they got people they're supporting. They don't think about this. And so anyways, it just reminded me that, you know, we're having tons of discussions all the time with our Amazon sellers. But yeah, and we're talking about estate planning here and getting that done.
Yeah, yeah. I just had a client the other day whose father passed away, and he was really big into online gambling, and so had $100,000. It turned out in an online gambling account somewhere that nobody knew about for a really long time because, you know, just he had never done anything with it, never told anybody about it, never taken the steps to make sure somebody would know how to find those funds.
Yeah. And so as we get into this, just up front that the estate planning, this is, you know, the important part of it is if you don't have your trust in place getting into these digital assets, then it's probated, right? And so maybe talk about that a little bit as then we'll get into the specifics of digital assets and how to handle those. But what's the danger there? And especially with digital assets and probate.
Yeah. So the sort of danger is, like you said, Paul, if you haven't done some planning, you haven't put some planning in place to govern what happens to those assets, they'll go through the probate process. And that could look like a couple of different things. If there's no planning at all done in place, then that's going to be probated according to the intestacy laws of your state. So whatever state that you live in, if you don't have a will in place, there's nothing there saying who you want that property to go to, it's going to pass to your heir at law, whoever that happens to be under your state law. So that's one important thing because, you think about your Amazon sellers, for example, may or may not want all of those funds going directly to their spouse, may or may not want all of those funds going to directly to their minor children if they don't have a spouse, but they do have minor kids. So very important to think about who you want those accounts to go to. And then the second piece of that you mentioned is the probate piece. And do you want those assets tied up in a probate court? So even if you leave a will and you haven't somehow transferred those assets over into a revocable living trust or taken some other type of action to make sure those aren't in your individual name, then those funds are going to have to be probated before anything can happen to them. So you're talking about, months, years even of litigation in a state court trying to figure out who is going to get these funds and getting access to them.
And accounts are frozen when they go to probate. I mean, you can't really get access to them.
Yeah, so you can sometimes get access to them if you have an ongoing business or something of that nature, but it's going to require court approval to get access to those funds. And anytime you want to do anything with those funds, the court's going to have to weigh in and say yes or no. So you can imagine that that's really costly, it's really time consuming, and it can be the death of small businesses or medium, any kind of business that needs its cash flow to keep existing.
Yeah. So Renee, tell me, so as we get into the estate planning, people with digital assets, let's get into the weeds a bit there. Like, how do you handle that? And just start talking about the process and the decisions that are involved there and some of the different ways, to handle that planning.
Yeah. So the first step to it and the most, one of the most important things that we have to do is just make sure people are getting an inventory of all their digital assets. So we can't make decisions about it or do stuff with it if we don't know what it is. So it's really a process of gathering all of that information and keeping it somewhere. So how might you do that? Well, you can go old school and, just do it in a spreadsheet format, get a spreadsheet, list all of your digital accounts, everything that, that is accessed online. And then hopefully in a separate document or somewhere different, you're saving all the passwords for all of that. Right. So that we know what you have and then we know how to access it. There are all kinds of companies out there, though, that will help do this for you, right? So obviously there's password managers, LastPass and Key and all of those different service providers out there that can help manage passwords and really take inventory. But then there's other ones that are, more estate plan focused. And so one of the ones that I work a lot with my clients with is My Life and Wishes. And I know there's a ton of other of those out there that will allow
My Life and Wishes, you said?
Yeah, My Life and Wishes. Yeah. Okay. And it's a company. And like I said, there are others out there that do the same thing that lets you go on and create your own, your own account and then list all of your digital assets in there and then actually put in your passwords and keep them safe and have those, only go to, your executor, your personal representative if something happens to you, or only to your attorney. It really is the sky is the limit on how you can set it up. But yep. It's a, place where you can go in and put in all your information and then give somebody access to that at the time that you would like them to have access.
Okay, so it's keeping an inventory, and then when they sit down with you, they have multiple kids, what are the discussions you get into and what people here watching should be aware of and start thinking about with their own planning?
Yeah, so some of the biggest things to talk about around these digital assets assets are, you know, what are my options? What can I do with them? You know, if we're talking about financial institutions, for example, we're talking about a bank account that you may have digital access to online. What can you do with that bank account? Well, sometimes people are a little bit more familiar with that because it's just some, you know, bank accounts are something that we've been dealing with for, right, you know, all of our lives. So, you know, you might know that you can put a pay on death beneficiary or a transfer on death beneficiary on your bank account. But when we start getting into some of these other assets, it gets a little bit less clear for two reasons. One, you know, some of these digital types of assets haven't been around very long, so people just aren't used to dealing with them and haven't had to transfer them for their grandparents down to their parents and all of that. So it takes a little bit of time to get used to thinking about them. And then the second is the laws on some of these digital assets aren't as, you know, developed as they are on things like bank accounts. So what are your actual options? Can you actually pass it on to somebody else? What do the laws say about that? What does the service provider's, you know, terms of agreement, what do they say about that? So we have to get very much into the weeds on each of these and kind of figure out, well, what can we do with it? And then what do you want to do with it?
Interesting. A quick question on something you said. So if you have a bank account and you have a pay on death or transfer on death, that's the way you set that up with the bank. Does that mean you don't need to have it in your living trust, or you have it in your living trust and it's registered that way at the bank?
Yeah, so that's one of the questions that we got to really think about, right? So for the majority of people, I usually recommend transferring those accounts, you know, to your trust, going ahead and transferring them either to the trust or making the trust the pay on death beneficiary. There's a couple of different reasons why you might want to do one versus the other.
Yeah.
But something important to note around the, you know, the sort of digital aspect of that is that transferring those assets, you know, like I said, that's something that people often think about. But when you transfer the asset into the trust and then it's paid on death into the trust, that sort of keeps everything kind of the same if it was already in the trust, right? We didn't have to make a big switch for that. It was already in the trust. If it's pay on death to the trust, then we are making a change because it was in your individual account. And now it's paid on death to the trust. So the part of the digital planning that we have to do around that asset then is, you know, did you leave your passwords to someone so that they can manage the account online? Or did you not do that because you didn't want them to manage the account online? And then if they, you know, if they don't manage the account online, then we're talking about going in and working with the bank directly to get those funds transferred. So a big piece of the digital planning aspect on all of these accounts is, do you want to give someone the ability to manage the account itself after you're gone? Or do you want them to have to go through the third party service provider in order to make decisions about what's going to happen with that account?
And that's
true of bank accounts. And it's also true of all types of other accounts, you know, such as your social media account, you know, any of your merchant accounts, you know, pretty much anything that you can, that you have digitally, there are two ways of dealing with it once you're not able to take care of it yourself. And that's giving someone the direct access to deal with it just as you always dealt with it, or giving someone else the capacity to deal with it, but requiring them to go through that third-party service provider before they're able to actually take control of it.
Interesting. And when you give access to somebody to your digital assets, does that person have to be the one named in your financial power of attorney?
Well, you know, they don't have to be, right? So I could give my passwords, all my passwords to you, Paul, and then you could have access to my account and you could go and do whatever you want with those accounts. So that's really important to think about as you're doing your planning, because lots of times I'll have clients that say, oh, well, I've named this person as my financial power of attorney because I trust them and I know they're going to make the right decisions for me and my family. And then they'll say, oh, but I gave my kids, you know, my password and login information, you know, just in case, you know, they need to have it. And so it's very important to know that if you do that, then you've basically given your kids the authority, or whoever you've given that password information to, the authority to act just as you would act inside of those accounts. So when we're designing these protections that are put in place because we've thought through who we want your financial power of attorney to be, it's important to think about, well, how are you leaving access to information? And, you know, is that going to, you know, sort of thwart the efforts that you've taken to put up these protections in place in other areas?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so as you get into this with families and you have the inventory, now you're going through the decision making there, then how do you set it up? How does the actual trust language, what happens there?
Yeah, so we've got to kind of take it asset by asset and see what can we actually transfer, you know,
to the trust.
What do we want to, yeah, what do we want to transfer to the trust? You know, now, if it's something that we don't want to transfer to the trust now, how are we going to get it in there later? So, you know, certain categories of sort of assets can be transferred in the trust now. And so we say, okay, well, we want our bank account to be transferred into the trust now. So that way, you know, everything remains the same. I'm the trustee now. My successor trustee will just take over. Everything runs smoothly. Some of these other assets, though, it gets a little bit harder. Like, for example, if you own a domain or, you know, you've got a domain that's registered to you, how are you going to handle that asset? Are you own it personally? Are you going to transfer it into the trust? Is your business, you know, you want to transfer it to your business and allow your business to own that domain? What are we, you know, how do you want that to look? And it really just depends on, you know, sort of your business succession planning strategy at that point, right?
Right.
Other things are similar, like, for example, can cryptocurrency be owned by a revocable living trust? And that's where we're getting into some of these assets that the laws are less developed around those assets than they are.
Can it? I mean, do you know if crypto can be owned in trust?
As of right now, I would advise crypto not to be owned in the name in the individual trust, just because the laws around it are so unclear. So I would advise it to be named in, you know, the individual's name, and then, you know, how we're going to assign it to the, you know, can we do an assignment of the crypto interest into the trust? And so, you know, looking at things like that, it's why it's really important to not only to develop a plan and an inventory and all of that, but to really have that attorney, that trusted advisor who sort of knows your plan and is going to touch base regularly with you on that, because those laws are changing quickly, and you want to make sure that your digital plan that your plan for your digital assets that you have today is still going to work for how you want things to go a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road.
Yeah, that marketplace, the crypto is insane right now, and the NFT marketplace too. But so then, mm-hmm. Renee, what do you do as you're talking to family? You have some meetings up front, you get an inventory, then what do? Put together sort of a draft of the estate plan that you get out to the family to check it out and look at? How does that work when you're finalizing the whole plan?
Yeah. So that's pretty much exactly how it works. We're going to sit down, we're going to go through asset by asset, each of these accounts. We've got a thorough process to make sure we're capturing all this information so that, you know, it's not being forgotten about, because I think that's what happens. A lot of times people just forget about their cryptocurrency when they're planning, or they forget about their non-fungible tokens, or even small things like, what do you want to happen to your Facebook account? Do you want people to still be able to go on there and post messages, or do you want that to go away? Really just a lot of questions that we have to get through with the family. And then, yeah, we are just documenting that, you know, if we're doing a trust, we're putting things into the trust, or if we're able to name the trust as a beneficiary on something, we're doing that. We're looking, making sure that we give client, because each of the Amazon, Etsy, all of PayPal, all of these big merchant companies, they each have their own policies and procedures. It's the same thing with the social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, all of those have different things that you can do. Some of them you have to do right now. You have to go on and say, you know, if something happens to me, I want this person to be able to manage it. And if you don't say that, then no one's going to be able to manage it on your behalf.
Yeah.
And then some of them, you know, if you say, I want my accounts to be closed out and the funds transferred over to X person, that's fine. And then others, you have to work a little bit differently. So it's an important educational piece. And the good news is that we have this information. I just did a blog series on the different social media accounts and how you can manage those. The information is out there. We have it. We just have to sit down with the client and go through all the different options and make sure that we're documenting it the right way.
Well, that's great information. And then when the estate plan is done, Renee, then they have a copy of it, right? They have a bound copy, digital copy of their estate plan. And then obviously we keep a copy. And, you know, they, and then going forward, it's not a set and forget thing. And so I know we're very sticky with clients and we're resources as, you know, life changes, laws changes, but they get their copy and it's a matter of just, okay, working through life and being flexible and changing as necessary. Correct? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And all the more important to be doing that for these types of assets because, you know, information does change. You get new digital accounts, new types of digital accounts are emerging all the time. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, that you, if I'm advising you as my client, I'm telling you, you know, hey, make a plan, review this on a quarterly basis or review it at least once a year and make sure that you've included all your digital assets. And, you know, that's something else that we haven't talked about yet, but that's really important is figuring out who your digital successor is going to be. So who is your digital executor, trustee, or however we're going to set it up for you, who is the person that's going to go in and do all these things for you? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same person that's going to handle other aspects of your trust or other aspects of your estate when something happens to you. And you want to make sure you're thinking about who that person is and whether they have the sophistication level and the trust, you know, whether you trust them to do what you want them to do, when something happens to you. So very important to keep this sort of front of mind, thinking about it once or twice a year.
Yeah, great. I'll end with this because this is a concept that comes up a lot. I know you've talked about it and there's a deeper discussion there, but as people are setting up their estate plan with digital assets and other assets, they have kids, you know, they're passing stuff to, and some of it can be passed during the lifetime, is setting up an asset protection trust within their living trust, right? So when you know, life happens, the trust kicks in for the kids and assets don't go just directly to the kids. They go in the form of a trust, which protects those assets from potential creditors of the children. Divorce, maybe they get sued, maybe they own rental property. So fair statement. There's a path to look at for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially in the case of, like you mentioned earlier, Paul, for some of these Amazon sellers, that could be a potential, you know, large windfall that somebody is getting into their estate if they're just getting those funds outright. And of course, we want to do everything we can to make sure that any potential creditors don't get wind of that. And, you know, that's where the trust planning comes into place. And also that those funds aren't just being handed over to any kids that are minors on the day that they turn 18. So very important for managing those kinds of things.
Great. Love it. Renee, excellent information. I want to thank everybody for being here. Stay in tune to us because we have a lot of content going on. We'll get this out to everybody who attended the recording so you can refer back to it. And also, I want to mention, we always are happy to have you get signed up for a complimentary planning assessment with Renee. Happy to do that. I'm going to put, we'll get the video out. Look for that and a way to get connected to the assessment. Thanks, Renee. We're going to have you back soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.